distance from the permit to do whatever it is you're engaged in doing. As I read it, the only time this would apply is if someplace else in another law or another regulation it says very clearly that you must have a subsistence use in your possession permit to do whatever it is you're engaged in doing. That's the only time it would apply, and if you're doing that without that permit, it would be impossible for anyone to determine whether or not, in fact, you're involved in a legitimate subsistence use or commercial fishing, since commercial fishing is.
I think you can explain the background for this question. The commercial, Mr. Chairman, essentially it is that this individual wouldn't have a subsistence permit, and also wouldn't have a commercial permit. And so you don't know who this individual is and what he's doing. He would also be liable for prosecution under the subsistence regulation. All this is just establish this prima facie evidence. It doesn't automatically make him guilty of commercial fishing violation. It's just one piece of evidence that would be used to indicate that this person was trying to subvert the commercial regulations under the guise of subsistence fishing. I might want to discuss what prima facie evidence is. It's not a strict liability.
Yeah, it's just a basic case. It's just
I'll move on. That's fine, yeah, Mr. Barton, would you go ahead? It'll be, for everybody's information, it'll be the committee's intention to accept further testimony on the bill, and we will hold over for before we proceed with the markup. So I'll withdraw the original motion that's still on the table here relative to the limiting procedure section, and we'll continue this testimony. Yeah, I'll turn the committee over to
Okay, I'm just going to ask you the last paragraph of the judge's opinion as you travel along the way. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks.
We'll wait.
Mr. Chairman, oh, I've got a couple more minor ones. I'll just skip them.
Well, why don't you not skip them? Because if they're, even if they are minor, those suggestion changes.
If you are interested, page 10, line 24. This is in the definition of subsistence fishing, and included in that is possession of fish, which. Doesn't appear to me to be subsistence fishing. In many cases, you can possess fish without being subsistence fishing.
I think Mr. Chambers just gives a little latitude. It is true what is being said, but at the same time, I think it gives some more latitude and.
Oh my goodness.
In working with that.
Tony, you have any thoughts on that? I see where the there's apparent complication. I'm just understanding, is there some reason why it's in there?
Mr. Chairman, just a comment on this sort of thing that we've been going through here. It's got to be emphasized again that our intent was to clean up the language, housekeeping or whatever you want to call it, and make no substantive changes. We might or might not agree with any substantive changes that anyone might suggest in Title 16, but we were criticized before in producing this bill in former years we're having changes in that were viewed as substantive. So what we have done in this bill is try to get rid of archaic language, try to clarify and make it no substantive changes. So that's why the comments relating to sections that are already in the statutes that the person might or might not agree with may not be germane to this particular bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that, and I just assume that possession of fish, if a person gets walked down the street and somebody asks him where he got the fish, and he said he's subsistence fishing, so it's almost like possession of the fish is the, you know, it's a, came as the result of subsistence fishing.
Mr. Chairman, also from the public safety standpoint, just possession in itself is not, you know, an automatic citation, and there's more to it. There's investigative work the officer has to do, and same goes back to commercial subsistence fishing. And when the officer's got to do the investigative work, he just doesn't take what he sees right off face value and run with it. So,
yeah.
You know, as far as you're concerned, I think you have to add that in there too. And, if there have been problems with people being cited the wrong way or something, well, it's clear that, first of all, it's clear through my office, clear through the DA's office, through the court system.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead with your other point?
The next one is same page 928, and that including disturbing, in any manner disturbing, under the definition of take.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I'm not pleasant for being out of the room. What page is he on?
Page 10,
line 28. Any questions for Cleve Emerson?
Well, in subsistence fishing, there you can go right up into the creek and do that. And I suppose the method by which you use to take your fish could cause problems in that particular stream area where the person is taking the fish. So I personally prefer that the use of the word disturbing.
Well, I'm not sure that this take is part of subsistence. If it is, it narrows it down considerably. But as a commercial fisherman, I release many fish, and I sure have disturbed them in the process of releasing, but I have not taken those fish. And this is an important difference.
Mr. Chairman, maybe one way that this take is used, because it's an older definition, that might tie in to 1605-920, which is on page 7, about line 8. And essentially, this is, you know, the key statute in the Fish and Game title, which prohibits anybody from taking anything, fish or game, unless it's allowed by statute or by regulation. And the take, by including disturbance of fish under taking, it makes it an illegal act to go in and disturb fish on spawning grounds. Unless there's some law that allows that sort of activity to take place, if you didn't have that definition, then essentially you would have to have regulations that would cover all the different type of disturbance acts. Now, as far as if your example in the take and release of, say, sublegal king salmon, there is a regulation which allows you to take that fish. So, and that way you haven't violated this other portion of it, because the board made a conscious decision, you haven't shaped the problem, there may be mortality, but they have allowed you to take the fish and release it at that time. And that, I think, is the reason.
Yeah, I think mostly when we hear cases of disturbing, it's usually people from the general public throwing rocks at spawning fish and causing, poking sticks at them and this sort of thing there, and eventually gets reported to a protection officer or someone who comes along and stops it.
That's within the definition of molesting or something.
Well, like they call it disturbing is what they put them up on.
Continue.
Page 11, and line 3, under the definition of taxidermy, preparation of fish or game, I don't think should be part of the definition of taxidermy. Maybe it should, but in many cases, the individual takes, for instance, a bear hide, has to do a lot of preparation before that bear hide goes to the taxidermist. And if you define him as performing taxidermy, he runs into some problems, I believe. I'm done on that.
Mr. Chairman, let me get that quick. The key word in here is for monetary gain, so from doing it for yourself, you're not a taxidermist, but if you actually charge somebody for the activity that you're doing, whether it be anything, it's the tanning, the mounting, the processing, or otherwise treatment or preparation of the fish and game.
Well, a guy can be doing it. A guy can be doing it, and he'd be paid to do it. I'm not sure if it's a problem or not.
I mean, all it's just the definition of it. I'm not sure that, I mean, I'm getting kind of lost. It's just the definition, isn't it?
Yeah. Of taxidermy, yes.
Right, so it's...
But there are some laws that define what taxidermy is, and you have to have a license and this kind of thing, do you know? There's some regulations that cover taxidermy that may cause some people some problems.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know of any regulations that cover taxidermy that even address it. The only reference otherwise in Title 16 that I'm aware of to taxidermy is in 1605-340, I believe, licenses, where it lists what a taxidermy license costs.
Is that like a business license of sorts, or?
Pardon me?
That would be a business license, other than just a regular business license, that a state business license, and a state taxidermy license?
Yes, the resident taxidermy license is $75, non-resident is $200.
Well, then you're just worried that if taxidermy is what you're saying, the guy then probably legally should be buying a taxidermy license?
Well, he may be required to, according to this, and I'm not sure.
Mr. Chairman?
Mm-hmm.
Again, from an important standpoint, like Mr. Clapton said, the key is monetary gain, and I think the definition of tax, and if Barton goes out there and cleans up the bear hide of your friend's job, and then set it off the taxes, you're not taxed unless you've got monetary gain, and then you get the definition. So, I'm not aware of any citations that have been issued to the individual because they think that someone's bear hide tried to send off to Canada.
I see where you're getting at, but I'm not sure if the problem. I think it's probably kind of possible with my foot in.
The next one is line 6, definition of trapping. It means the taking of mammals. Declared by regulation to be fur bearers. There is a separate section in the hunting regulations for taking fur bearers, and the regulations are different than the trapping regulations. And all the take of fur bearers should not come under trapping when you allow hunting on these animals. The shooting of a wolf, for instance, is not trapping. It's a sport to take.
wolf has been declared a game animal, so this is kind of a purpose.
It's in the book, it's a, what is in the book, the program, isn't it?
Mr. Chairman, there are several species of animals that are classified by the board both as big game and as fur bearers. And when they are taken under the auspices of a hunting license, they're taken as big game and taken under the auspices of trapping license as a fur bearer.
Wolverine, what else?
Wolf and Wolverine are the two that are dual classification.
They ride the hunt beaver and a lot of others. It just doesn't list limited to big game. It just says mammals.
Mr. Chairman, you're not allowed to take beaver except under a trapping license. You're not allowed to take them under any license.
Okay. Here at the end on page 13, I recommend against deleting 1605.835 and 1610.120. We have specific bills for both of these, I believe, pending, and I think that that deletion ought to take place there rather than on through this avenue. And there's some real problems with these two especially, and I'm not sure about some of these others. I haven't time to look them up. But those two, I feel very strongly, should not be repealed without a separate hearing.
Yeah, I think that's some of the least part of the committee, so
that's it, Mr. Chairman. Sorry, I took my time.
Oh, that's okay.
But what was your last name?
Russell Bart, B-A-R-T-O-O.
From the...
Okay, is anybody else that would like to testify in this car? No?
Sure. Chairman, could I add one more thing under... 1508. Okay. And that is the Division of State Troopers currently now do not have to select form out. In the course of their duty, they, when they're dealing with other matters other than 16. And as you all know, aware of, many of the state troopers get involved in search and seizures of vessels and aircraft unrelated to Title 16. And that example would be state trooper and division of state troopers on Logan Patrol out in the logging camps, and they get complaints that a violation is in progress and someone's they assaulted somebody else and the suspect is on board the vessel and everything probable cause is they got a suspect, and the suspect did, from what everything they can tell, use a firearm to commit the crime and everything. And they search the vessel because it is a mobile unit, and they don't have time to go back and get a search warrant for that vessel. They do not have to fill out that intent to search form. Only the Division of Fish and Wildlife Protection. Yet, the vessel is whatever you want to call it, a man's space of a boat, or this is means of a commercial fish, or whatever. But he has done the same thing as the Division of Fish and Wildlife does. They reference the commercial fishing or a game violation or whatever. So what I'm trying to say is, he's done the same thing, but yet he does not have to fill out the form. And yet, both the Division of State Troopers and the Division of Fish and Wildlife Protection are commissioned as state troopers. We're talking about one and the same thing. And I just wanted to...
I presume that you would prefer that
we not require the environmental returns like the branches to do this because the bluefish don't do that? Would it be objectionable for you, for us to require the bluefish to do it if in fact they are going to the same procedures in doing something that's probably the cause?
Well, if I follow what you're saying, I'm glad you see the terms of branches and bluefish. Maybe I should speak in that language. I'm not going to speak for the state troopers, because I'm sure that they'd hate to see that piece of paper too. And the comment was made, Representative Gutenberg, I believe, of, you know, 2.5 minutes. And, you know, I won't dispute that. I just would like to comment, when you said that, one thing that came to mind, well, the officer may be out there by himself, and there's a lot of other things going on at the same time. And that is another form that he's got there along with him, besides everything else. And comes right down to another hassle. And I understand the concern for the person's rights and whatnot. But again, the state troopers do not have to do that. And back to what I believe Lieutenant Colonel Pepperoff already has testified to, the officer's going to have probable cause beyond, you know, just, he's got to have that. And if he doesn't, you're going to have problems with the case. And as Colonel Pepperoff has already stated, that there may be anywhere from, first of all, probably dismissal of the case, reprimand, or maybe suspension or dismissal of the employee. And we've got it right there in our operation procedures manual as far as what constitutes a person's procedure and examples and what the officer can and cannot do. So, not only does it in the law as far as you can and cannot do, but also in our operations manual goes into more detail yet what we can and cannot do. So I recognize the concerns, but then the process we have now, I think we've got some checks along the way that's going to prevent that.
Well, I make a distinction between behavior between individuals and people behaving towards property. You could say, well, fishing and wildlife are common property. But I look at this form here and I see down here it says an interest. And I wanted to ask you, when you fill out this form, the witness, do you use a fellow officer that's with you, or do you use members of the crew that's on that boat, or whoever is handy? I can see where this could come in. It's very valuable because you're talking about a lot of cases being thrown out. I see that if you do this properly, you have a document. I feel it would be less apt to be so efficient in violation now if you do say, well, I'm going on that vessel for undersized check. Now, some things kind of bothers me there. I say, what can you get probable cause out of that? I mean, how can you see some of those types of things they're doing with fishing game violations? That is kind of bothering me as well. How would you know? How would you have probable cause to say that vessel has undersized crab on? Somebody told you that? Are you watching? Have you pulled the pots up and checked and then watched the pots? And then, you know, things like this. I look at the Department of Health and Welfare making an inspection. They actually can go and building and inspect certain things for health, sanitation, public welfare. I look at the brown shirt is basically having the same thing, looking at the welfare of the public in relation to the natural resource of the home. That's why I prefer something like this. At this point, if a person with a blue shirt is going to make an arrest in relation to a fishing game violation, he has to use a blue shirt. If a state trooper is driving along the highway and he sees the lanterns off the side of the road and he stops his car and drives on, stops trying to walk back, and there's some people that are sawing on a moose, then certainly he doesn't warrant anything like that. Very obvious. However, if I suppose if you found a carcass of an animal off the side of the road and you saw two or three campers, then you would have to do that, wouldn't you? Let's say that one of the campers had, you know, some bloody handprint on the side, where, you know, where the guy goes in and goes in like that. That might be probable cause, but not.
Well, depending on all the circumstances, it may. You've got the relationship between the campers and the moves and what you've seen, the statements and whatnot. If you're on the road system, safer the moves if it's out here, which is not. But stay up, that's by Palmer. And that type of thing went down. The best course of action for the officer to take, if at all possible, would be, first of all, secure the scene and keep that vehicle there. You know, ask the person if you mind staying here until, and then get a search warrant. Call on the radio if you can, get a search warrant to come out and search the vehicle and or pound it. But if you could not, and you have probable cause, and I'm talking more of just because the camper happened to be in the area, that would not be enough. You'd have to have more than that. But if you had bloody fingerprints, fresh blood dripping off the camper, and maybe hair leading up to it or something like that, that it steps up, and you couldn't, if you were to go and get a search warrant and leave the vehicle there, he would probably be gone. So that's that situation.
But this would actually take care of that.
We can do it without that.
You'd almost have to see to carry something in it.
Carry something into the camper?
Yeah. You'd almost have to see the violation occur.
Not necessarily so. Depending on the probable cause of it, if the moose is alongside the road, that individual happened to be there, maybe he came up to you and then started talking to him, and he was had blood splattered over his clothes, fresh blood, and a lot of tracks, and
well, you are talking to the person though outside the camp.
Well, I mean, you can go on and
the guy
can
there, and you know that there's some people in that camper.
Right. Right, you can go on and on. You can talk to different factors.
Well,
different.
Well, from my perspective, I try to make it what the judges are going to do with information you give to them concerning probable cause. It's my experience, at least from reading all the sentencing reports, the judges tend to favor protecting individuals' rights and privacy. And it seems to me that the use of this by the Brown Act is give the officer some additional protection towards maintaining his case. If he doesn't have that, he's got his word to give to the judge and say, well, it seems to me that I had probable cause and here are the circumstances. However, if you have this to show, and you do have the witnesses, if any, and if it is the individual you are issuing this case, it gives you an added clout for pursuing probable cause in the court and not show that you're in fact violating the individual's right to privacy.
Of course, I suppose that one of the issues when the officer in fact has probable cause.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Judge Williams, district court judge, says that I say it has no legal effect because if the issue were reviewed by the Alaska Supreme Court, I've convinced my own mind that they would rule it as merely administrative and should be dispensed with.
Okay, no, I read that and I recognize that, but at the same time, the judge said, did you follow the procedures properly? In fact, were the individual's rights to privacy protected by the officer, even though he was not still probably caused to warrant his action? This, in fact, shows that the officer did follow procedure and show the individual that he has a probable cause to conduct a search, even though this has no legal standing.
Right, but I mean, if he didn't have the procedure, then he wouldn't have to fill that thing out, and he would still have to prove that he had not violated anybody's rights. I mean, it's a part of the procedure, and if you eliminated it, I don't think you'd eliminate any person's rights.
No, I agree with you. However, I think for added protection for dealing with the Rocky Project, I think this gives the officer greater clout in the court than without it. Because the individual who issued this, what is this called, a citation? Statement of intention to search property
knows that the octopus is not going to do that.
Well, I know that, but if you also had a requirement that he must shake the hand of the person that he's doing it to, I mean, he inside of you, he has to, I mean, you can put any kind of procedures in along the way, and every time you do another one, you're saying, in essence, that he has followed procedures even better and better, and so finally, you know, that. But I mean, procedure, you have to get back, is the procedure necessary, and to begin with, so maybe, is there another, I mean, maybe they don't believe the judge. I mean, is there another judge that could respond to this? That I realize this judge was familiar with it because he was in the territorial days he was in from the very beginning, but is there some other?
Send it to Judge Stone.
Does he become a hangman or something
yeah.
like that? Okay.
could you rather get another opinion from another judge?
May I also address it? Mr. Vassar said here that as far as adding protection, well, two things are what I'll get in there. Then perhaps a law that you need to include the general constitution, if that's a concern. The other thing in here, too, is say we'll take an example of the moose and the campers. We have an officer go out there, and there's a camper parked right next to the down moon. The officer up and walk up to the moon to screenshot four high times, and it's an obvious poaching closed season, all right? The camper's there, and we had a person in the camper and comes on out, and hello, Mr. Smith, my name is Officer So-and-so. I like to check this camper because I believe you poached this moose over here. And the individual says, no, I just dodged it. I didn't have anything to do with it. Well, I'm going to issue this, Mr. Smith, I'm going to issue this intent to search to search your camper. And Mr. Rosman will search the camper. And I'm going to write in here right on top here, I'm looking for a moose. Because that's what I'm looking for, because there's a dead moose up there. I'm looking for a rifle. Now, if that's all he's got to go on, he does not have probable cause. But yet, he's filling this form out. The form does not make the search right. Is that, can I explain myself? The form does not make the search right. He filled the form out right. He said what he's looking for, a new part, a rifle, that cost him money. But in fact, the camper, the person in the camper, just drove up there and he was tired of driving. And he didn't even see the moose there.
Well,
we're saying
the officer has probable cause. And I wouldn't expect an officer to fill this out if he didn't have
probable cause. Because
we know that this has no legal standing in court.
And,
now, presumably, the
Brown
Church mother, they can't use it
as a legal standard. Of course, if the officer
did think
he had probable cause,
when
in fact he had nothing.
Okay, that's true, but this would still indicate that the officer thought he had probable cause. And he could say, here's my
reason. But won't he have to fill out a form when you go in on probable cause? Don't you have to fill out another form that when you go in and do this, or can you just walk in and say, oh, sorry, and walk out again? Does he fill out a form that he had gone in there thinking there was probable cause and something, even if the guy doesn't complain, or is it conceivable that he'd go in and come out again?
You file a report.
Well, that's what I mean. It's a report that you would have. There's some report that's filed that you didn't enter
the. The officer's report.
That's what I mean, yeah. So
he
filed.
Yeah, then he just said that he arrived at the scene, the sample was there, and he asked the owner to keep my mind coming in, looking through the sample, and the owner said yes. Well, that report to reflect that.
Right. Would that report include all the information that's on this piece of paper?
Well, if the officer's finished his work right, the officer would then report with respect to approximate time. He did go through the camper, who was in the camper, license number, and the whole work. Especially, if you look at it from the state is just installed the case, especially important to document that information, because maybe he didn't find it in the camper, but maybe that is a mean that the individual in the camper did not keep it. You see what I'm saying? And so for further follow-up, further investigative work would be beneficial for the officers to do so. Mm-hmm. And only if he did fight the individual for keeping it, then you need the report to go into the report slot.
Something was shot, let's say, about 5 o'clock, or after 5, then the officer wouldn't bother to do it, would you go home? You don't have to answer. No, what my original statement was, way before this, is that a brown shirt, before he goes to the trouble of filling this out, it is a darn sure in his mind that a violation has occurred. And the end result being that if I was a brown shirt and was going to make an arrest, I would probably write this check down anyhow. I know I would. And if there were any witnesses around there, I would be warm their names on there too, because they'd want to call upon him with it. And I look at this as kind of protection. Now, I'm not so concerned so much about the camper situation and the canister. I'm more concerned about the vessels. That are large vessels, as you know, that year-round people who live on it. That I feel that a person who's a brown shirt before he goes and makes the trip has to be very well served, because he gives you a very inconvenience for those people there, just because they have to be in all that before it's protected.
I agree. You can get by 100% with you on that. Now, there's also, along with the system CVR and whatnot, there's the commercial vehicle good example right now, but I think you've got probable cause that has been involved to fill this thing out, and you're going to fix the cabin and the vessel. There are still some things that are protected on this very statute. It does not allow the officer to be looking for a fishing pole on a handful of vessel or something like that. Does not allow him to look in the envelope of the habitant's reading ball or whatever. It is obvious that.
What's about the probable cause here? Where would that be? If you had sighted him fishing that pole and you get over there, it's gone, you see him? That's what I mean.
Well, I mean,
you seem to be going on a fishing expedition again.
Yeah, of course.
Well, he probably has a fishing pole, and I'm going to look. And that's what I'm getting at here, that you got to commit yourself.
No, we don't go on fishing expeditions like that. Mm-hmm. And we don't look for things that we might come up with as pilots, for example. What I'm saying, what I meant to say, is that something like that. We are not going to go turn his cabin, his vessel upside down, let's say a net, a cabin. That's my
I think we're starting to get off now. All of a sudden, people are trying to come up with new stories and new examples, and they start starting to bite us. My intention is certainly not to in any way get this thing included, but we're not going to convince ourselves. Is there anything other than maybe other judges' testimony that would convince you that there might be reason to think of leaving it in there? Or are you guys a little hard-headed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Did you get that? Did you, very good.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Really good.